are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, we are going to help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests will provide you with advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that eventually we are going to have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. So you have to tune in every week. Oh, I'm so glad I couldn't hear myself for a minute. I like to be loud, loud, loud. And I was like, what am I talking? Do they hear me? What's going on? Albert, honey, I need it to be turned up a little louder. I like to be loud up in here. Yeah. All right. That's so much better. Albert is on the board today, people. Yay. So he is operating and controlling and doing something with buttons and stuff, but I'm glad I sound louder. Okay, so if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, you have to go to the LA Talk Radio website. If you're hearing me live, you're already there. So just go to the top of the link, click the website that says channel, the link that says Channel 1, scroll down, and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality. Click the link, and this takes you directly to our archive page, and this is where you can view the list of our past guests. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.com. Which is a wonderful new website for internet radio, because you know that terrestrial radio is on its way out. Yes, I said it. Internet radio is the future. It is the future. Even Tom Likas has an internet radio show now. So you know he has the trend. He's on top of everything, according to Albert, at least. So you definitely want to get familiar with your internet radio, especially if you're an indie music player, which a musician, which we're going to talk about later. If you want to find out about our future guest, you have to go to our Question Reality Radio Show official website. That's different. That's another website. So that's questionrealityradioshow.com. And that has all of the guests for the next 6 months. And now, as always, we have a fantastic, wonderful, incredible, sexy. She's got the badunkadunk going on. She is the thing now in indie music. I was so fortunate to meet her, and it was very ironic how I met her, because every year, as you know, I start announcing my birthday parties. I have a huge, like, variety dinner show, and I hire all different types of act, like magicians and go-go dancers and Bollywood dancers. It is a spectacle over there. And I'm usually drunk off the second drink, so I don't know what the hell is happening. But this particular occasion, I hired some gorgeous belly dancers from Shauna Ferry.
Shanti, yep.
Shanti Farah. Lovely woman, by the way. Fantastic belly dancer. She wasn't available for this particular event, but she said, I've got a girl named Val Macias who's fantastic. I said, send her over. So that is how I met Val. She came and brought her little belly and was dancing all over the place. She was a huge hit. Hot, sexy thing. How could you not be a hit? So we hit it off really well. And then I found out from one of my friends, Richard Ryan, mm-hmm. that she's a singer. And he said, oh my God, you got to see her. She's fantastic. She's incredible. And then he just started going to all of her shows. So I said, I have to have her on my show. And that is where we are today. Again, her name is Val Macias, and she has a group called Val and Her Lovers. So you might want to go there right now and check out her website, valandherlovers.com. valandherlovers.com. Now, we're going to talk to her in a couple minutes, but music has probably never been as much of a grab bag as I can't see with my glasses. I'm going to take the darn things off. Okay, music has probably never been as much of a grab bag of assorted acts and genres as it was this last Grammy show. I don't know if you saw it, Belle, but actually, I think I first noticed it at the 2012 Grammy show, exactly how there was like a changing of the old guard. And you can consider like the Grammys the old guard in many ways. So they were scrambling to, the Grammys, I think, are scrambling to address all of the different genres that are going on, as far as they invented a best urban contemporary album just so Frank Ocean could win something without disturbing the traditional categories. And I was just fascinated by that. That was fun. Now, we live right now in a world where indie folk are not only a popular genre, but commercially a viable genre. And traditionally, hip-hop artists like Big Boi, Macklemore, Ryan Lewis, they are even exploring interesting sonic territory, right? So our guest artist today is also charting these unexpected and unfamiliar waters. And she comes from the singer-songwriter genre. And her band, again, is Val and Her Lovers. And we are going to be introducing her very cool vocal and songwriting style to the masses today. And we will be playing two of her latest songs off the CD, and it is called Goodbye LA. It's an EP and it has four songs on it. Four songs. Oh my gosh. So I had three, but we can only play two because we got to get other things in. So if you want to hear the other two, you're going to have to go buy it. So we're going to tell you where you can get I imagine her website. You can buy them directly from her website at valandherlovers.com. And we'll find out other places to be able to buy it. So today, we are going to be doing something a little bit different. Hopefully, if we have time, I'm going to try to fit it in. But during our interview with Val, we are going to be giving some tips and advice on how indie musicians can get their music noticed by the powers that be to hopefully make it down that big red Grammy carpet in the sky. And this information will be coming from, I got to tell you, this is a must-see website. If you are a singer, a songwriter, a musician, if you want to get into the music business, this website is the place you got to visit. It is called musicbizacademy.com. And the advice comes from Christopher Nabb, who is an independent music business consultant based in Seattle, Washington. He is available for private consultations on promoting and marketing independent music. And he can be reached by email at Chris, C-R-I-S, at CRISKNAB.net. And Chris Nabb's new book, Music is Your Business, is now available from Music Biz Academy Bookstore. And you want to visit the Forefront Media Music website for more information on the business of music from Christopher Nabb. But if you go to their website, this is what I found. Now, keep in mind, I do not know this man. I have never met him. I don't know what he looks like. If he was standing next to me, I would not know. Never met him. I found this guy when I was doing research to come up with really cool questions for Val Macias. And when I saw this website, I thought, oh my God, this website is perfect for musicians and singers. And here is some of the articles he has, the top 25. Again, if you're a singer, songwriter, or musician, I cannot stress how much this website is going to help you with tips, advice, and resource information. And it's in very layman's terms, so it's not, you know, in like legal jargon. Okay, here's some of the articles on the website that you can get information. Number one, how to write an artist bio, performance contracts, mastering your music, how to copyright music, 21 songwriting tips, tax tips for musicians, sell your CDs online, what's a record deal really about, artist band interview form, inside record labels, internship do's and don'ts, how to make a living with music, how to write your own press release, reasons your demos are rejected, facts about music learning, trademark your band name, yes or no, pros and cons, planning a radio campaign for the indie artist, a legal checklist, industry quotes to live by, songwriting techniques, guerrilla style marketing tips. You definitely need those if you're an indie artist. Starting your own music business, live performance coming up with your music marketing plans, which you should have if you want to go anywhere in this business, and can you as an indie artist afford distribution? And when you click on these links, oh my God, they're just incredible. I mean, it's written so easy to understand, even if you're like a beginner, and I would definitely check this website if you're a beginner, because it tells you everything you need to know. And if you follow the steps, I really believe that you can be successful. Again, don't know this man. This is not a plug for him. It's what I believe in based on reading this. So please check it out. And we are going to, I think what I'm going to do, because I was so obsessed with this website, I think what I'm going to do is go over one of the topics per show. So every time I have a musical guest on, I think that's what I'm going to do. So stay tuned for that. So what we're going to do today is we are going to probably go over planning your radio promotion campaign. So that is something we're going to do. But let's find a little bit about Val. Now, Val Macias, Val, Val and Our Lovers, it's a Los Angeles-based band who's unique of blend of indie pop, rock, dance, and soul has been compared to the likes of Florence and the Machine, Alabama Shakes, I never heard of them, and Tegan and Sarah, I don't know them either, I'm so old. The band consists of songwriter and vocalist Val Macias, keyboardist Patrick Simon, and guitarist Steve Crane, and bassist Henry, let me see if I can do this, Mulehausen.
That's it, you did it.
Woo, yeah.
I know.
And, oh my God, there's another one. I shouldn't have used my and yet. There's
got
another
one. Levers.
And Matt Lesser.
Yeah, he's our drummer.
Oh, yes. So together, what they've done, they've cultivated a deep community based on their mutual passion for their music, their art, and to do the whole experience together. So they're so excited, as anyone would be. They had the recent release, again, their EP, which is Goodbye LA. Now, that's interesting. You say Goodbye LA and you're still here, damn it. What the hell happened with that?
The city can't get rid of
you.
Oh,
my God. We're going to talk about why it's called Goodbye LA when you're still here. They were fortunate to have mixed and mastered it by their uber-talented friend, Byron Morton. And right now, they are planning their next EP scheduled for release in late 2013. 2013. Can we say that, 2013? I think we can. 2013. 2013. So let's talk. Let's talk to Val now. When you were a child, this is a question I usually ask everyone. When you were a child, you know how we all wanted to do something or be something when we grew up. What did you want to do or be when you grew up, Miss Val Mass? By the way, welcome to the show, Val. Woo!
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
You are welcome.
Really
it took excited. A long time to get you on here,
well,
wasn't it?
You're a busy woman and your slot's pretty sought after.
Well, you know, we are fortunate. We started the show in 2008 and it has just been a whirlwind because, as I was saying earlier, internet radio, for anyone who is who has the forethought to understand that that's where radio is going, and terrestrial radio will be out in, I don't know, what do you think, Albert, like 10 years, you think? What's Tom Likas saying? What's Tom saying?
Yeah.
Come talk in the mic so we can hear you.
Yeah, 10 years.
So we think 10 years. So
maybe less.
Yeah, so I don't think I'll be ready. I'll be retired yet. I think I'll still be hanging on for 10 years. I'll still be here at LA Talk Radio for 10 years. So when you were a child, what did you want to do? Who did you want to be, Valerie?
You know, I have a very, very specific memory, and it dates back to probably second grade. I wrote an essay for my teacher at the time. Her name was Sister Luce, wherever she is.
Oh, Lord, Catholic school.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're a Catholic school girl.
I exclusively went to private Catholic school.
Oh, my God. So next party, I'm going to have you dress up in your Catholic school outfit for the guys. Okay,
it's going to be a little too short these days. But I actually wrote an essay about wanting to be Catwoman.
Oh, that's exciting. I wanted to be Catwoman.
I wanted to be Catwoman really badly. My mother actually still has the essay. But as I grew older, I realized like vigilantes that sort of prowl around in the night, it's not really my bag.
But you are kind of a vigilante now, prowling around in the night, so you kind of got your little wish come true. You should see her in those little outfits with the little badunkadunk hanging out there. She's a little hottie. So what happened? Did you?
You know, I've always sang in choirs and church. And then,
are you self-taught music? Did you have lessons when you were?
You know, I took piano lessons as a child. But then I realized that I really loved performance, and that sort of segued into cheerleading growing up. And then I sort of never really fit in any sort of like social way to that crowd. And my peers and sort of like my soulmates were always the artists. Hmm. So as I got through high school, pretty baffled and confused about why I had such a hard time, when I got to college, I found that the people that really related well to me socially and also politically were other artists. And a lot of these folks came through theater or they came through choir. And I thought guitar was pretty cool too.
When you started college, did you major in anything business or major in?
Theater arts, actually.
Okay. And how were did your family support you, like, growing up when you were telling them, I want to become a musician or a singer?
I want to be Catwoman.
Yeah, you want to be Catwoman. Well, I don't know. How long did you want to be Catwoman? Like 15, 16? That's a problem.
You know, up until 2 weeks ago. Anyway. Okay.
So you obviously had some therapy lessons from the family. They sent you. Were they supportive, though?
My parents have always been immensely supportive. And, of course, you know, time sort of goes forward and it's rivery path. And now they're often like, Val, we're seeing things going really well. But to this day, they think that I'm talented, and they've always supported me. So when I chose theater, there was never a question. They always kind of saw that my personality was creative, and the extrovert that really, like, shined in the best way was the extrovert that, like, was a performance extrovert and not necessarily, like, in any super social capacity, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it makes sense to me. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Not many people have the support of their parents when they decide to go in the entertainment industry.
So true.
Most people have to run away to pursue that path, so you're very, very lucky. Now, I'm curious about, were you a singer in any bands before Val and Her Lovers? What happened leading up to it?
So I studied musical theater, and sort of quick history to get into Los Angeles. I was studying musical theater, and I was arbitrarily discovered by a management agency and also a talent agency. And they said, move to Los Angeles, we're going to make you a big star, kid.
Where were you before?
I was in San Antonio, Texas,
which is where
I'm from.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And so essentially one of their clients was in San Antonio. He and I met. He introduced me. They loved sort of my performance skills. And I said, you know, that sounds like a great gig. I will sign your contract to move to L.A.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did. So for the first year living here in Los Angeles, I was working as an actress in film. And I realized that it was actually just not for me. It's nothing like being on the stage. There's something much more visceral for me, and this is just for me, that happens on the stage that you simply don't have in film.
Yeah, it's not as continuous. There's all
Absolutely.
The stops.
Yeah, you don't get that instant gratification. Albert experienced his third. I got him a little small part on a film last night. We were on the set of CBS Studio.
You saw this on Facebook.
And yeah, so he's like, are we ready yet? Are we ready? What's happening? Where are we going? God, ooh. And, you know, it takes a long time. You know, you can wait like 16 hours and then have 5 minutes, possibly, and then that's it. So, as in theater, as you know, because my background is theater as well, you get that instant gratification of being on stage. You hear the claps and the cheers or whatever you're doing, and it's really rewarding. And you're there from beginning to end. You do your thing, and then that's it. You don't have as much waiting.
No, so. It's true. It's absolutely true. And so I experienced that.
It's not for impatient people.
No, and I'm that. I'm certainly that. Although somehow I'm also still working as a musician. Maybe I am more patient than I give myself credit for. But so that's what happened. And then I just...
So what did that manager do when you came here? I mean, was he a legit manager? Did he get you stuff?
And you know, I think that they were maybe a little too... They were looking for far too much commercial success for me, which I think now in the music industry and I would say the entertainment industry, there's a large chasm and I think a difference between something that's called commercial success versus sort of like success with longevity, right? So it's kind of like working for the lottery or like trying to work for paycheck.
Right.
And this particular team was sort of looking for the lottery for me, to the extent that they suggested I get breast augmentation, get a nose job.
Yeah.
These things that just seemed very unnatural. Clearly unnatural. And so I let the contract lapse. There was no bad blood anywhere. But it definitely left me with a little some sense of like a lack of purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I
had a lot of girls fall victim of that. You got to be very strong and know who you are as a person, or you might be afraid to that you're going to displease them and that they're going to send you away. And you get these things done, and then you feel like a fool because they end up dumping you anyway, because sometimes they botch it and make you look like Frankenstein. So don't do that. Be happy with who you are.
And certainly not to denigrate anybody that, like, you know, looks into these things, but for me at that time, it wasn't right.
Not happening. So let's find out why the name Val and Her Lovers. What's the origin of the name? Had you had another name and then changed it? Give us the scoop on this name.
I'm so glad you asked me this. It's my favorite question. So first I want to preface with, every time folks hear this name, they think automatically these are quite literally my boyfriends. All men that I sleep with.
I was thinking. I'm like, she's got a good setup over there.
And admittedly, I have a pretty good looking van. That
true.
I kind of made it that
true.
Way. But no, actually, I made the decision to name my group of musicians this way because it was a tongue-in-cheek way of addressing gender dynamics, gender normative behavior, and in a playful way, sort of like switching power dynamics between genders. So I think that patriarchy is something that sort of existed for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was a very playful way to say this is a matriarchy.
Sort of like Florence and the Machine, even though there's no guy, but you could have a guy, Florence and her machine, and that would work really well.
Yeah.
What genre of music do you consider your work to be? Like, who are your major influences, and how would you describe the musical style of Val and Her Lovers?
You know, this is a tough one, because as a songwriter, and I consider myself very much a songwriter, you are influenced by everything in a moment. So I'll have these phases where soul, funk, or throwback inspires me immensely, and I have to go home that moment, and I've decided I'm tossing out everything I've ever written, and I'm going to be a soul musician. But then, of course, date number two comes along and I'm influenced by some great country song. So I would say that to define the Goodbye LA EP, it's very much a contemporary sort of rock, pop rock meets indie sounding music. Did that explain it well?
Yeah.
Is that concise?
That sounds good to
me. Yeah. And then,
because the music, I mean, can you really describe it? It's what you feel. I guess you write about what you feel or what you're influenced about at the time. How long has the band been together?
This particular group of musicians, including Matt Lesser, the drummer, we've been running together, I would say, for about 2 years.
Did you know any of them before?
Yes.
Were you friends with any of them?
Yeah. I actually met my bassist, Henry Mielmhausen, about 5 years ago. I hit on his buddy at a bar.
Didn't you just do that the other night? I think I saw that on Facebook. You went up instead. I don't know. I can't remember.
I told the man he can't handle this thunder.
Oh, that's right. You did. And what was his response? Did he handle the thunder or what?
Thunder had been handled.
There was some thundering going on that night. Wow. So you guys have been together, what, 5 years?
We've been friends for 5 years, no. But this particular group of people, of musicians, has been about 2 years.
Okay.
That we've been playing in Los Angeles and trying to, like, sort of garner some steam.
And who writes the songs?
I do. I'm the composer, yeah.
Okay.
But to be fair, I have very diplomatically and sort of in a democratic fashion opened up the floor to my group of guys. So it's like, if I bring a song in, my hope is that they're going to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And so some songs are very much more band songs.
Okay.
I would say the majority are my pieces that the band has sort of made their own sonically.
Okay. So they collaborate sometimes.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Throw in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The riffs and
sometimes
stuff.
They're like, oh, maybe this chord is going to be better than that chord.
Do you write the instrumental parts too? Or?
What I write, I write generally the chords. So I'll write the chord progressions, the melodies, the lyrics. And I also, in a sense, produce and influence the sound.
Wow. So don't you have to know all those instruments to be able to write those?
You know, mercifully, that's why you get really smart musicians to back you up. Because, no. I know. What I can do is express to them what it is that I want to hear. I can express...
Hum it or something like that?
Sometimes I'll sort of like describe a feeling or a sound or a color, which I suppose sounds pretty like artsy fartsy and hippy dippy. And rest assured, everyone out there, I am neither of those things. But they're good at just sort of like understanding what I'm trying to tell them, and we'll experiment together until we collaboratively come to something that we can agree on.
So your writing process is you just, I mean, where do you come up with a song? Like John Lennon, I think, Albert Wright came up with songs in the bathtub or bathroom or something.
No, I think that was Paul McCartney.
Oh, Paul McCartney. Okay, so do you get, what was like the, do you have any weird places that you think of songs? Do you go somewhere or how do the songs come to you?
You know, I have, yes, I need to be in my apartment. I can't. Honestly, like
in the apartment, not out with the wind blowing in your hair or anything.
Well, this is also Los Angeles, and good Lord, coming across a nice, like, clean patch of grass is sort of unheard of.
Okay, you are right. Say no more.
I mean, I like to imagine myself sitting atop a mountain, writing about angels or something, but no, actually, I sit in my apartment on my kitchen table in my little, like, boho apartment in Lincoln Heights. yep. And
where the hell is Lincoln Heights?
It's pretty east. It's pretty east, sister.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, my mom's calling. And, I generally have to have a drink.
True musician.
I know. I have. In fact, I brought my flask with me.
Oh, my God. You know I have my flask. Oh, my God. You saw my wild turkey in the flask at my birthday party.
Sister, that wasn't a flask. That was a bottle.
Oh! Oh, that's right. I forgot my flask at this one. It was the flask when I met her.
Priscilla was pulling it out of her, like, undercoat. really thinking that she was going to hide that. There was no hiding that enormous bottle of whiskey.
I thought it was invisible. I was like thinking you wanted to be Catwoman, I wanted to be Wonder Woman. I thought I had it in my invisible plane and I'm pouring it in my glass. But yeah, so go ahead.
It's frustrating. I really wish that I could be one of those artists that just like writes from gladness and joy. And don't get me wrong, there are moments when I have. But I would say the majority of the time when I write, it comes from a healing place or a place of a little bit of like heartache.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about being creative is you need to find like a middle ground. Like if you're too sad, you can't write. If you're too joyous, you'd rather be out in the sunshine cavorting. So I find a pretty.
I don't know. What's the explanation though about the country singers? Because their wife killed the cat because they were cheating, and there were windshields broken with baseball bats. You got to be pretty angry to write that. But then again, you don't write country.
No, I was gonna say they're also really good at embracing the cheese. I'm learning to do, frankly, because I want to sell some music too.
Yeah.
I don't even care anymore. Somebody buy it.
Buy my shit.
Oh, write what you want.
Right. You want a song about a penis? Send in your thoughts. I can write around it. I can write about the vajayjay. I just give me money, honey. I hear you. Now, what bands and singers and life experience have influenced your songs the most, do you think?
That's a lot of questions. Okay, let me see if I can start. So what bands and singers? I would say vocally, there are a lot of contemporary artists. I suppose it's fair to say my contemporaries, even though I'm in different working fields. Certainly bluesy singers. I loved Amy Winehouse. I think I was someone who really, I was broken when the woman passed away.
Yeah.
I know I found it frustrating that so many people sort of said, well, she had it coming. But all I could think is we've just lost a gem of an artist, someone who really contributed to sort of modern throwback and sort of reinvented an otherwise nostalgic genre.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say Amy Winehouse is somebody that I genuinely love. Jazz singers. I love Etta James. I love
What about my favorite? Have you ever heard the work of Eva Cassidy?
Eva Cassidy? Oh. I'm embarrassed to say. I'm not quite sure.
Well, see, I couldn't say anything about Amy Winehouse because I embarrassingly have... I couldn't tell you one song she's written. I've never listened to
I'll
her.
I'll send you some. I'll
agree to listen to an Amy Winehouse. You listen to Eva Cassidy.
Done.
Oh, my God.
Deal.
One of the most beautiful... She's dead. God bless her. She died of cancer before she was discovered.
Oh, dear.
She became famous posthumously. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
I'll definitely check her out.
So what has your music like evolved since you began writing and what caused the evolvement?
I love that question. So I've always written a lot about sort of heartache or trying to move on from some jerk guy. But very recently, you know, I'm getting older. I found myself wanting to write a lot about my family, honestly, and sort of like that the relationship that I have. They live in Texas. I live in L.A. They're in San Antonio, so we were close to 2,000 miles apart. And I find myself being incredibly nostalgic about youth and time and sort of valuing now in a way I never did when I was in my early 20s or even mid-20s.
Mm. Well, Albert and I are thinking about youth, but it's not in the same way you are. We're like, oh, my God, can we afford Botox? Where the hell did this whisker come on my chin? It wasn't there yesterday. So a little different, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so there has been a shift. In my new music, it'll definitely – you'll be able to hear that in the EP that we're expected to release towards the end of the year. So I would say a lot more nostalgia that's associated with sort of like existing rather than just, oh, my heart's broken because of some, you know, super jerk guy.
Some guy. Some guy. Always a guy.
And they're never worth my rhymes, Priscilla.
Oh,
they never
God.
Are.
Well, just know, I don't know. I was going to say, but never put names to the songs because I think that that attaches some sort of stigma you have to suffer with. But in fact, as it is 5:30 and promised, we are going to play one of Val's first songs. Out of the three, there was one, I think, called, oh God, why didn't I write this down? One is Goodbye.
Goodbye, L.A.
Goodbye, L.A. One is Jennifer. And then wasn't the last one a guy name?
Joseph, yeah.
Was it Joseph or Joey?
Joseph.
Joseph. So you wrote, oh, is this about a guy?
Oh, darn it. Yep,
got
me.
All right, yep. Which one do you want to play right now? We'll have Ronan play.
You know, I think I want to go ahead and start with Jennifer. Okay. And that's actually about an old best friend from high school. It's often sort of misconstrued, and it seems like it's some lesbian anthem. And I have no problem carrying that.
Okay.
Except that, you know, it's not a lesbian anthem.
I thought the song Caroline by Concrete Blonde was lesbian anthem until I met Kat Von D personally at the Magic Castle. Uh-huh. And she's like, no, Priscilla, it's not a lesbian anthem. And then she told me what the song was really about, but that's a whole different story. But so let's hear what is it about real quick?
It's just reminiscing about my best friend from high school, my friend Jennifer.
Okay.
Literally, just that.
I like that because it's not about a guy that, you know, you broke up with or broke your heart. It's about a friend. So this is something new. I really like this. Okay, let's play Jennifer by Val Macias. More importantly, Val and her lovers. Okay, take it away.
Oh,
be a hit right
Thank
now.
Thank God.
Oh, it is
on
a
the
hit.
Radio.
That is a hit. For me to be whipping my bursitis hip right now to this song, that means it's a hip. It's a hip.
Is it a hip? It's a hip. Is it a hip or is it a hit?
It's a hippie hip. It's a hippie hit for sure. That is awesome. Seriously,
Thank
Val.
You.
When
Thank
I
you.
Get the lesbian connotation with the rubbing the hands through her hair.
Yeah, all right. But, maybe it's sort of a little artistic
really
license.
Really nice.
Thank
I
you.
Mean, the musicians,
yeah,
those are all.
There's like little
really
touches
good.
With
mm-hmm.
the piano.
Oh, yeah.
You know, doing that, you know, resolution one note to the lower
yeah,
note.
Absolutely. Yeah, that one D minor at the
sort
of
in
like
there.
In the
that
yeah.
syncopation with your singing towards the end.
Uh-huh. Good, I'm glad he liked it.
He's a musician, so he can talk about all that syncopation stuff. I just know there was like a beat, and like my breasts were bouncing from my knees up to my chin, so that was a good thing.
I think I need a little more.
That's awesome. I really love that. I am so serious. And you know, Albert, do I give compliments if they're not true?
She never gives compliments.
No, what I'll say is that's it. I'll say, oh, that's interesting, just to be polite.
Yeah.
But that was really good.
Because
I'm like a total 80s fanatic. Uh-huh. And I mean, that music had a little bit of sound from the 80s, a little 90s, a little 2000. And today it was a real grab bag, I think, Albert.
Yeah.
Full.
Thank you.
There
yeah.
were, and the musicians
it's
are
it's
really,
true.
Really good.
Top nice bucket. Arrangements.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Really good arrangement. And you as a guitar player, that guitar player was really good.
Yeah,
I
like
thought.
The way the acoustic came in
yep.
after that
yeah.
break. I like that.
That
yeah,
was good. Now, did you do the arrangement? Again, it was a collaboration because
so
that was really awesome.
So this EP is interesting in that it's sort of been through the ringer several times. So initially, this record was subsidized by a gentleman by the name of Johnny Au. He heard me play at a bar one day, and he is like, you need help, I'm going to help you. And so during that time, I was living back at home, I was studying. So I was in San Antonio. So he was flying me back and forth between San Antonio and Los Angeles to try and just record some of these songs that I had been sitting on for some time. So initially, Jim Huff, who is a very successful and very well-known composer and producer here in Los Angeles, we hired him to go ahead and produce this record. It ended up being very much a 50% shared production, I think, responsibility. So
mm-hmm.
we're 50-50.
Do you have a record label? Is
that... I don't. No,
okay.
I don't.
Well, that brings us, and that song was Jennifer.
Yes.
Jennifer,
right? That's
oh, God, I'm still thinking about Joey or
people
Joseph.
People have their own Joseph. Record labels now.
Yeah,
that's
what
the way
we're going to try to talk about that real quick because I want to play another song. I want to end the show with one of her songs.
Great.
But I did promise we were going to get to a little bit about the music business today, and we're going to talk about promoting your radio production campaign. So I imagine you... As an indie artist, at some point, you have to think about that. How can I get airplay? And everybody thinks, oh, my God, I wish my song would play on the radio, on the terrestrial radio. But there are so many things now. Now, the commercial radio industry couldn't be less friendly, am I right, to the independent musician. And however, that does not mean that there isn't some significant radio airplay available to you if you know what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And again, outlined below is information from the gentleman that I said earlier. Oh my God, what the heck was his name? Christopher, wasn't it Christopher Knapp? I got like 17 pages here. I don't know where the hell it is. Hold on. I want to give him credit because I just think this man is so awesome. Christopher Knab, K-N-A-B. And this is part of what's on his website. And here are some of the things that he had outlined for a plan for you to consider if you have the three important ingredients necessary for working your radio record to radio. So number one, the money to fund the campaign.
Oh boy.
That seems to be the hardest.
That's always the hard part.
That is.
Whether it's film or music.
Yeah, I know. Gosh. The time to spend working all the stations consistently, which, you know, with you working full-time or part-time, it's kind of hard. You need a product that's ready for national airplay, which is what yours is right now. So you've already got that. I don't know about the other two things, but you got that. And then he says, forget about commercial radio airplay. When it comes to commercial radio, the chances of getting significant national airplay for your independent record are next to none. So he's right, Val. We live in an era when a small group of powerful media conglomerates own and control the most important radio stations in the land. Unless you are connected to a major label or are independently wealthy, the cost of promoting your songs nationally to commercial radio have spiraled out of sight. There are, however, a lot of mix shows and specialty shows on commercial stations that may offer limited airplay and at least will get you some awareness in the markets across the country. And there will be, it's a lot of work involved, Val, for the independent musician, a lot of work involved in funding these stations yourself, city by city, and music format by music format. He suggests that you subscribe to or get a, and I had never heard of this, but I'm not a musician, maybe you have. He suggests that you subscribe or get a copy of the annual CMJ directory, and the website is cmj.com. CMJ Holdings Corp is a music events publishing company which hosts an annual festival in New York City, and the CMJ Music Marathon, as well as a weekly magazine for the music industry and college radio stations in the United States and Canada. And it publishes top 30 lists sent by stations which subscribe at a cost of like a few $100 a year. And it's also sent to record companies and their public relations and publicity representatives as well. So you can get your music on this list and it's sent to the radio station and they may play your shit, man. So check that out. And I would highly recommend that. So if you have money to invest in a radio promotion, like if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth or something, it's possible to hire an independent promoter who may be able to open some doors to show these shows for you. But be prepared to spend hundreds of dollars a week for their services. So I wouldn't go that route. I'd just do it myself. Now, important rule about securing any airplay. If you have not made your music available in stores, either through traditional distributors or distribution into online stores like iTunes or Amazon.com, then you can forget about investing any of your time and money trying to get airplay. Again, what's the point? If a station plays your recording and people like the music, they can't find the shit. They can't find it. If they can't find it in their favorite online store, then they can't buy your music. So your distribution needs to be in place first. Okay. Now, here's why I am talking about this today, because a far more realistic approach for airplay is to consider the options available on the non-commercial side of the FM dial, 88.1 FM to 91.9 FM. We've had Albert, we've had lots of our friends on these stations, like Chuck Johnson.
Yeah, I think he was on the jazz station.
Yeah, it's really, it seems to be much easier to get your song on that airplay. So look at the genre. I think 88.1 is jazz. So if you have a jazzy song, submit it. They'll play it and bring you on for an interview. And also with the combination of college radio stations, community stations, and even some of the larger national public radio affiliate stations, your chances of getting your record are played much better. Submit it. I guarantee you they'll play it eventually. Just bug them and harass their asses to death. They'll play it. Just be nice and send them some cookies. You got to do a little payola. Also, don't forget, here we go, don't forget about the thousands of internet radio stations that stream millions of songs a day. Google the phrase internet radio stations list and you will be amazed at how many stations on the web play independent music of every imaginable type. I mean, you can find the most appropriate online internet radio stations for your music. It's a time-consuming process, but there are so many, and if you submit your song to everyone, you just never know what's going to happen. A perfect example is a guy named Arnel Pineda, Filipino guy, obsessed with Steve
From
Perry
Journey.
And Journey.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Steve
and then Perry. He's like, he puts his little video on YouTube. Next thing you know, the guy from Journey, was it Neil Schoens?
Yeah, the guitar player.
Yeah, he's just searching on YouTube, found them, called the guy up to ask him to be in the band. Of course, they hung up on him. They thought it was like a joke. Took several tries, but now he's like the leader of Journey. So, you know, you just never know. Don't be afraid to take
their...
But you got to put the time in. very important. You know you're an artist and you want to create and sing your music. But you know what? This is show business, and you cannot forget about the business side. Yes, you can show your shit, but you got to take the business first. So you always need to transpose those and do business show. Think about the business first, and that means you got to put the time and effort. You got to be professional, and you got to do, if you can't do it, because a lot of musicians or artists, I find, they have a hard time focusing, organizing their thoughts. So get someone to do it for you. Delegate it to someone who you trust and wants to work for you. And then you can promise them they can be their roadie later, right?
What a horrible job.
Or you, if it's a guy, you can say, oh, my God.
I'll let you give me massages.
Yeah, well, I'll get you a little vajayjay on the side. Oh, just hang in there. And you got to give them, promise them something. You never know. So internet radio stations cannot stress that. If you start by browsing the radio broadcast directories at live365.com, live365.com, and shoutcast.com, you'll get a quick start. And many of these internet stations, they play alternative acts. That's what they want. They want alternative music. So, you know, you're in if you got a good song like you do, Val. So I would check that out. There are also channels on satellite radio, XM Sirius, that you can do some research into. If you own a BlackBerry or an iPhone, there are several free apps that will give you access to these web broadcasters. And so check this out. I cannot stress to you how much this will help you. And we are going to have this ongoing saga of information for you when we have the next musician, which I don't know when it's going to be, maybe next month. I can't remember who's coming up. But
I've been taking notes. I'm not joking.
Oh,
I'm typing away.
I see those little fingers going crazy, and I love it.
I'm not being rude or texting other people.
I appreciate that so much. I mean, that's what I'm here for. If I can help one person, I have lived my life. So, we only got a couple minutes, and I want to end with your song, but I just wanted to find out, are there any upcoming gigs or anything that we can talk about?
Yes, absolutely. Now, I do have some in the works, so I first recommend that you please, please, please check out my website. It's www.valandherlovers.com. There's where we post all of our latest show information, any new news about the band, anything interesting or fun to sort of keep in check with us. Also, I would recommend checking us out on Facebook, facebook.com/valandherlovers. You can also email us. That information is there. May 22nd, we're playing at the Cinema Bar in West LA. It's a free show. Come on in. I've got CDs for sale. Maybe we'll have merch. It's going to be a blast. So once again, that's going to be Cinema Bar. It's located on the west side on Sepulveda. We'll go on at about 9 o'clock, and we'll have some other great mates playing with us as well.
Cinema Bar.
Cinema Bar. Yep. West
I want
LA.
To say Cinnabon. Cinnabar.
And I believe that's a Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Find out. What date is that again?
I'm going to tell you right now. That would be May 22nd.
May 22nd.
And that is, in fact, that's a Wednesday. It's Wednesday, May 22nd, and we'll go on about 10 o'clock.
Woo! 10 o'clock. I'll be sleeping, show, but you know what? People who are under 30, go out and see it. I'm telling you, she is, as you heard, she's incredible, so you got to see it. And your CD is available on your website, valandherlovers.com. Also, is it on Amazon?
We're just getting on Amazon. We're available on iTunes, so right now you can purchase us through iTunes or through our website.
Woo!
Stuff's up and running.
iTunes! All right. Well, thank you so much, Val. We are going to end. What song do you want to end with?
I think that we should end with the title track, Goodbye, L.A.
Goodbye, L.A. Yeah. Oh, we never found out why you said goodbye,
Well, you're going to have to have me back. I think that's
We're
going
to have to have Val back. Right, because you have your new album coming out.
Yeah, we do.
We're going to have you back.
The end of the year.
We'll find it. So you got to come back and listen to why she named this song Goodbye, L.A. So that's what we're going to end it with. Val Macias and her lovers, say goodbye to your fans,
goodbye.
Val.
Goodbye. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Okay, and we're gonna take you out with Goodbye, L.A. by Val and her lovers. Bye.
This will turn out one way or another. Please don't you go, you of all attach all of that bother. There's something that happens when all of this art is what we meant it to be, what we meant it to be.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.